8. Operating on Instinct. Modo sat at a table in the open-air section of L'Hôtel Grand's café, wondering if his shivering was from the breeze or nervousness. Octavia seemed aloof this morning, though they had shared the occasional word about the weather or how different Paris was from London. She'd said she didn't like the smell of the city, and he'd said it was no worse than the Thames. They'd spoken little since. Their fellow diners were all engaged in animated conversations. Modo was pleased to find that he understood most of the French he overheard. He noticed, too, everyone was very fashionable. He'd never seen such an array of ladies' hats in England. Everything in Paris was remarkably stylish, from the people to les fiacres, the little horse-drawn carriages. Even the tables of the café were a fancy wrought iron topped with glass. He searched the crowd for Colette, expecting her to appear at any moment. He'd decided to shift into what he called the night face, the one that she'd seen before, so she'd be able to recognize him. "I like the doctor face better," Octavia suddenly said. "Better than what?" "Than this one," she said. "It was more sophisticated." "Well, I'm sorry that I don't look sophisticated enough for your taste." "No, it's me who is sorry, husband." She didn't seem to be sorry. He could only presume it was the impending arrival of Colette that was responsible for her change in mood. It had been a good journey here. She'd even exclaimed how beautiful Paris was when they first stepped off the train from the port of Le Havre. But since they'd woken this morning, she'd been nitpicking. In all his years of education, why hadn't he thought to ask Mrs. Finchley to explain the female mind? They continued to wait in silence. At 1:45, Octavia began tapping her teaspoon on the table. "Must you do that?" Modo asked. "Ah, sorry, husband. I forgot how jangled your nerves are." "I am not jangled." But he was, and he knew it. Had Colette given up on waiting here for him? He'd travelled as quickly as possible after receiving the letter. Of course, she had probably assumed he'd be travelling from England, not Canada. "Your French mistress is late," Octavia noted. "She's not my mistress, Tavia." "Well, you certainly were in a hurry to cross the Atlantic to see her." "You know why I..." "Modo, I thought you would be alone," a young woman's voice interrupted them. Modo and Octavia turned to see Colette standing behind them. She was thinner than before, and wearing a black hat and dress as if she were on her way to a funeral. She held a tan briefcase. Her hair was tied with a purple ribbon. Her eyes had dark circles under them, and her cheeks seemed sunken.
"A pleasure to see you again, Miss Milkweed," she said, her accent clipping the consonants coldly.
"Yes," Octavia agreed with mock geniality. "A most welcome pleasure. And it is wonderful to see you, Modo."
She held Modo's shoulder with a firm grip, and her voice softened.
"It has been far too long since I last set eyes on you."
"It has," Modo said.
"I mean, it's wonderful to see you." "Are the two of you married again?" she asked.
"Yes,"
Octavia answered.
"Only for show," Modo added. "Please join us."
Octavia gave him a sharp elbow in the ribs. He wasn't certain why. Colette walked around them and sat down, waving over a waiter to order coffee.
"I've not had fish for 11 months now," she said, laughing.
It was, of course, a reference to what she and Modo had been eating on the Actinio when last they'd been together.
"Strictly beef and chicken." "You could do with adding a few pounds," Octavia said, feigning kindness.
"I appreciate your concern," Colette replied,
dusting a few crumbs off the table. She was still as beautiful as Modo remembered, and yet she'd lost more than weight. A certain vibrancy, perhaps? Her air of invincibility. "I avoid fish," Modo admitted, giving her his full attention. Colette leaned towards him.
"Let us get to the matter at hand, shall we? The French Secret Service is looking for others who are like you, Modo. It is a top priority."
Octavia set her cup of coffee down right between them with a clatter and said,
"Who would be leading that search? You?"
"I am a member of the team."
"So, this could just be an elaborate trap to capture Modo."
"It's exactly that,"
Colette said, narrowing her eyes to slits.
With a snap of my fingers, armed agents will sweep down and surround us. They'll haul you, Miss Milkweed, off to jail, cotton stuffed in your snide mouth, and drag Moda to our interrogation rooms on Rue de la Merci.
She lifted her hand and snapped her fingers, drawing the attention of a nearby waiter, then waved him away, laughing bitterly at his confusion.
I do not expect to gain your trust, Miss Weed de la Milk, but I do hope that Moda will remember our previous, shall we say, adventures, and the pact we made with each other. And what sort of pact was that?
Octavia glared at Moda. He looked to the sky and cleared his throat.
He scoured his brain for the answer.
Octavia was often vexing, but Colette's presence made him doubly vexed.
He could barely think straight.
Did we swear to help each other survive?
Yes, you remember,
Colette said.
Good, good. It was not an oath I took lightly. I come not as an agent for my country, Modo, but as a friend to you. I owe you.
Owe me?
For what?
Modo was confused. Couldn't she meet his eyes for longer than a few seconds at a time?
Your parents are living in the country. I've been able to ascertain that much.
Modo's heart sped up, and this disturbed him. It was important to keep his emotions in check.
Please tell me what you know. I've done a great amount of research, Modo. I discovered accounts of your birth. I even interviewed a witness.
A witness to my birth? Modo said, flabbergasted.
A relative?
Maybe he had an aunt, or even a grandmother.
No, not a relative. A midwife. Her name was Marie.
What did she say?
She, verified that you were born, and that you were, well, she was affected by your appearance.
Just as you were, Modo thought.
How can you be certain she was describing Modo's birth?
Octavia asked.
I am certain, unless there is more than one child with Modo's unusual abilities. How old are you, Modo?
My age? I can't be certain. I'm 16, at least.
No, Modo, you're 15. Your birthday is November 1st, 1858.
You're only 15, Octavia exclaimed. I thought you were older than me.
I'm wiser,
Modo snapped. Then he couldn't help himself. He smiled broadly. He had an actual birth date. He'd never once celebrated his birthday.
May I interview this midwife? Was she a friend of my parents? What other information does she have?
Colette sucked in her lips for a moment and stared into her coffee cup.
I'm afraid interviewing her will be impossible. She's dead. Drowned in the Seine.
Modo sat back, dazed. But Colette went on.
And a librarian, who was a great aid to me in my research, also died after falling off the roof of the library. One wonders if he was pushed. And finally, Father Moget, who was the records master for Notre-Dame de Paris, is also dead.
Death certainly likes to follow you around, Octavia said.
Who committed these murders?
Modo asked.
Two foreign agents, Lime and Typhon. I know for certain they killed the priest. I can only assume they murdered the others. The leader, Lime, spoke English.
They were British? Modo asked.
Well, he spoke with an Irish lilt. He seemed quite mad, spouting mad poetry and such, even as I pointed my pistol at him.
That sounds Irish to me, Octavia said. Colette set down her cup and tapped a finger several times on the table.
I am certain that they were members of the Clockwork Guild.
How did you come to that conclusion? Octavia asked.
Instinct. Instinct? Are we to trust your instinct?
Colette wagged her finger.
Only one of you was invited, my dear, and I have learned to trust my instincts. Further, the methods of these killers were more than brutal, one of the hallmarks of the Clockwork Guild.
What exactly were they searching for? Modo asked.
Information about you, my friend. They've retrieved your submission forms from Father Moget.
The what? Modo said.
The Notre Dame submission forms from 1858,
Colette replied.
Which are? Octavia said. These are forms that parents sign when giving their children up to Notre Dame. Most just abandon their offspring on the steps, but if you want to officially hand the child over to the church, these papers may also have contained valuable information. Shortly after your birth, Modo, your parents changed their names and moved out of Nanterre. The question is to where, and what are their new names? What was their last name? It was Hébert. They were potters.
Modo paused.
Potters? His parents made cookware. How normal.
He had pictured his father as a doctor or a military officer, something impressive.
But a simple potter.
Well, Octavia said, since these enemy agents have all the information, are we stuck just twiddling our thumbs?
No. There are other French agents besides me who are working on this same case. They have put together an index of names and occupations in the villages surrounding Paris. There's a high probability that Modo's parents' new names are on that list.
Why don't you just go take a look at their list, then? Octavia asked.
Colette let out a long sigh, and for a moment, Modo thought he saw her eyes become moist. She straightened her shoulders and set her jaw.
I have been discharged from the agency.
He caught Octavia shooting him a glance.
But why?
Modo asked, averting his eyes from his colleague. She was too quick to jump to conclusions.
They considered the Ictinio assignment a failure, Colette admitted, and no one would believe me about the underwater city of New Barcelona. We don't have submarines capable of diving to that depth. They even insinuated that I was just imagining the Clockwork Guild, and they... Well, let us just say I was not always the best agent after that. They no longer trusted me.
They are wise men, Octavia said.
Colette stood up as if to leave. Modo stood up too, putting his hand on her shoulder.
Please, Sid.
Octavia, despite her demeanour, wants to get to the bottom of this as much as I. Don't you, Tavia?
He gave her a look, and she returned it with a grim nod.
How do we get this information from your former comrades?
Modo asked as they sat down again.
That's where your spectacular talents come in.
Her voice was suddenly energized again, the vitality he remembered returning to her face. She placed her briefcase on the table.
I would like you to assume another persona, break into a building and steal the information.
Whose persona? Modo asked.
And which building?
Octavia added.
The Deuxième Bureau, our spy agency. And the person I want you to impersonate is Directeur Bélanger, the agency's head.
Modo met Colette's eyes. She was clearly enjoying the shock on their faces.